Eddie.
You have to understand that I don't remember any of this the way people ordinarily remember things. For me, this is more like remembering the bitter end of a bad drunk. It wasn't Eddie Jackaboy who took that pair of rubber gloves from the pile of them on top of the lawn food bags by the door. It was someone dreaming that he was Eddie Jackaboy. That's how it seems now, anyway. I think it seemed that way then. Was Mr. Dillon on my mind? Kid, I'd like to think so. And that's the best I can say, because I can't really remember. I think it's more likely that I just wanted to shut that shrieking yellow thing up, get it out of the middle of my head. I hated it in there, loathed it. Having it in there was like being raped. But I must have been thinking, you know it? On some level, I really must have been, because I put the rubber gloves on before I took the pickaxe down from the wall. I remember the gloves were blue. There were at least a dozen pairs stacked on those bags, all the colors of the rainbow, but the ones I took were blue. I put them on fast as the doctors on that ER show. Then I took the pickaxe off its pegs. I pushed past Shirley so hard I almost knocked her down. I would have knocked her down, I think, only Huddy grabbed her before she could fall. George shouted something. I think it was, "Be careful of the acid!" I don't remember feeling scared, and I certainly don't remember feeling brave. I remember feeling outrage and revulsion. It was the way you'd feel if you woke up with a leech in your mouth, sucking the blood out of your tongue. I said that once to Curtis, and he used a phrase I never forgot. The horror of trespass. That's what it was. The horror of trespass. Mr. D howling and thrashing and snarling, trying to get away. The thing lying on him. The pink threads growing out of its top, thrashing around like kelp in a wave. The smell of burning fur. The stench of salt and cabbage. The black stuff pouring out of the thing's dog-bit furrowed back, running down the wrinkles in its yellow skin like sludge, and then pattering on the floor. My need to kill it, erase it, make it gone from the world. All these things were whirling in my mind. Whirling, I tell you, as if the shock of what we'd found in Shed B had whipped my brains, pureed them, and then stirred them into a cyclone that had nothing to do with sanity or lunacy or police work or vigilante work or Eddie Jackaboy. Like I say, I remember it, but not the way you remember ordinary things. More like a dream. And I'm glad. To remember it at all is bad enough, and you can't not remember. Even drinking doesn't stop that, only pushes it away a little bit, and when you stop, it all comes rushing back. Like waking up with a bloodsucker in your mouth. I got to it, and I swung the pickaxe, and the pointed end of it went into the middle of it. The thing screamed and threw itself backward against the roll-up door. Mr. Dillon got loose and backed away, creeping with his belly low to the floor. He was barking with anger and howling with pain, the sounds mixed together. There was a charred trench in his fur behind his collar. Half his muzzle had been singed black, as if he'd stuck it in a campfire. Little tendrils of smoke were rising from it. The thing lying against the roll-up door lifted that gray hose in its chest, and those were eyes embedded in it, all right. They were looking at me, and I couldn't bear it. I turned the pickaxe in my hands and brought the axe side of it down. There was a thick, chomping sound, and part of the hose rolled away on the concrete. I'd also caved in the chest area. Clouds of stuff like pink shaving cream came out of the hole, billowing like it was under pressure. Along the length of the gray trunk, the severed piece is what I'm talking about, those eyes rolled spastically, seeming to look in all different directions at once. Clear drops of liquid, its venom, I guess, dribbled out and scorched the concrete. Then George was beside me. He had a shovel. He drove the blade of it down into the middle of the tendrils on the creature's head, buried it in the thing's yellow flesh all the way up to the ashwood shaft. The thing screamed. I heard it so loud in my mind that it seemed to push my eyes out in their sockets. the way a frog's eyes will bulge when you wrap your hand around its flabby body and squeeze.